In Christ Jesus, dear fellow redeemed, God's grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Is vulnerability necessary for a close relationship? Dr. Brené Brown, who has spent her entire career researching vulnerability and shame, says that the research data overwhelmingly supports the conclusion that vulnerability is necessary, is essential for close relationships. Now, the closer you are, the better someone knows you. And we might say, well, that's obvious, because if you're close to someone, you're going to spend a lot of time with them, they'll observe you and know more about you. But that's not vulnerability. Vulnerability is revealing yourself to someone, warts and all, showing them what you really look like. For many people, that's scary. They think, if people really know what I'm like, no one will like me. Others have the fear that if they reveal their weaknesses, those weaknesses will be used against them. Vulnerability, then, is terrifying to some people. And so they live their lives holding others at a distance. And ultimately, they forfeit at least a level of happiness. How vulnerable are you with the people closest to you? Are you willing to reveal your true self to them? If you want to grow closer, you're going to have to reveal more of yourself to them. That whole idea of drawing closer to someone by revealing yourself to them is evident in our text. Our text is an example of God drawing near to Moses, and through Moses to you and me. And he revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. So let's read our text then, and you listen and search for the ways that God revealed himself to Moses and to you and me through this account. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 through 15, we read, "Now Moses was shepherding the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, a priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in blazing fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, but the bush was not burning up. So he said, 'I will go over and look at this amazing sight to find out why the bush is not burning up.' When the Lord saw that Moses had gone over to take a look, God called to him from the middle of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' Moses said, 'Here I am, I am here.' The Lord said, 'Do not come any closer. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground.' He then said, 'I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, 'I have certainly seen the misery of my people in Egypt, and I have heard their cry for help, because of their slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to deliver them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now indeed, the Israelites' cry for help has come to me. Yes, I have seen how the Egyptians are oppressing them. Come now, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" So he said, "I will certainly be with you. This will be the sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will serve God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what should I say to them?" So God replied to Moses, "I am who I am." He also said, "You will say this to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also told Moses, "Say this to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is how I am to be remembered from generation to generation.'" So far our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have gathered to hear your holy word and to be strengthened in our faith through it. We pray that you would reveal yourself to us through this text, that we would grow in confidence of your love and care, and ultimately of our salvation. Strengthen us in life's difficulties, that we may joyfully persevere and one day be with you in heaven. Strengthen our faith, and by the gift of your Spirit, sanctify us through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. So this morning we take up the theme, God revealed himself in the burning bush. He revealed that he hears and sees. He revealed that he cares and that he delivers. So God revealed himself in the burning bush. He revealed that he hears and sees. God hears and sees. There has been a debate about the nature of God. And it's two parts of God that are, in a sense, difficult for us to totally comprehend. And these are the two parts. That God is at the same time transcendent, above the heavens and the earth, and imminent, present in our daily lives. Now, the greatness and transcendency of God has caused people to conclude that he got the earth going, but he doesn't really care about the running of the earth. And you may have thought or heard people say that, you know, God's up in heaven and he's so busy with everything else that he doesn't really have time for little old me. That's a transcendent view of God. That he's so far above us that he's not imminent, he's not present. And so he doesn't see little old me. He doesn't hear little old me. That's not what God reveals about himself in our text. No, God reveals that he hears. He says, I've heard the cries of my people. God heard their misery and suffering, their cry for help. And he is responding. Do you think that God really hears your prayers? Do you think that sometimes your prayers are just an annoying noise in God's ears? That he doesn't really listen and take them to heart? At times it can feel as if our life is that way. We might be going through some struggle or difficulty, pouring our heart to God, out to God. Maybe our marriage is in trouble, and so we're praying, faithfully pouring out our thoughts and our concerns, asking for God's intervention. Nothing seems to change. Maybe we're battling an illness, a serious illness, and we're praying that God would heal us, that he would give us the right medical advice, that somehow he would deliver us from that illness. Yet, it's as if our prayers fall on deaf ears. Nothing changes. Maybe it even gets worse. Whatever the suffering is that causes you to pray, God reveals in the words before us that he hears. God hears your prayers. In the Psalms, he tells us to call upon him in the day of trouble and that he will deliver. That's a promise that God hears. Jesus tells us to ask and we will receive. That can only be true if God hears. But our text also tells us that God sees. He says, I have certainly seen the misery of my people in Egypt. So God hears and he sees. He sees what you're living through. He sees the difficulties that you have to face day after day. He sees the struggles in your life just as surely as he saw his people in Israel. So God wants you to know. He has revealed that he hears and he sees. But this text also shows us that God cares. Seeing and hearing the misery of his people, God took action. And he came to Moses, revealed himself to Moses, because he was not happy about the plight of his people in Israel. So he was going to carry out his plan, the plan that he had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that his people would inherit the land of Canaan. So he cares. But again, our life experience can cause us to question whether God really cares. Sure, he hears. He knows all things. He sees everything. So sure, he sees what's going on. But does he care? And often it's timing that causes us to question God's care. We know that the people of Israel were in Egypt for about 400 years. Now, not all of that was terrible slavery. But the slavery must have gone on long enough that the people were crying out to God for mercy, for help. And I'm sure as they made those bricks day after day, they wondered if their God really cared. So often it's timing. God carries out His plan. God demonstrates visibly His care according to His timing. God sees what is really best for us. And when He sees how suffering, He only lets it go as long as necessary, because He loves us. In our sufferings, when they keep going on, and we wonder, does God really care? The answer is always yes. But it will be shown in His timing. When the time was just right, when the suffering of the Israelites had produced the necessary fruit, God sent Moses. When the time was just right, God acted. And it is the same for you today. When the time is just right, God will deliver you, because He cares. He loves you. That is true of the great deliverance that God has worked in Jesus the Savior. In Galatians chapter 3, we read, "But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law." When the time had fully come, at just the right point in history, God sent Jesus. God sent Moses to deliver His people. So God reveals in this text that He is the God that delivers, even miraculously. If we were to look at the rest of this story, the deliverance of the Israelites from Egypt, God came down and worked 10 powerful plagues to change Pharaoh's heart and the minds of the Egyptians so that God's people were set free. They were set free to come back to the mountain of Horeb to worship their God and to celebrate the deliverance that He has wrought. You too are delivered. You are delivered from slavery, just like the Israelites. Or your slavery isn't a physical one in the sense of you have a master. But Jesus said, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. Just think about that for a moment. How free are you in the way that you live? How free are you to do exactly what you want? No, we have to admit that there's a force inside of us, the sinful nature we call it, and it holds us in chains. It causes us to resist God and His Spirit and to do things that are contrary to our faith. Paul in Galatians tells us that our sinful nature and the spirit are at war. And he even says, so that you do not do what you want. If we don't do what we want to do, then that means something is holding us captive. Something is making us a slave. And so you are a slave to sin. And you need to be rescued. You need to be delivered. And that is what God has done to you, or done for you, in Jesus. In our text, God says, so I have come down to deliver them from the hand of the Egyptians. I have come down to deliver them. Isn't that exactly what God has done in Jesus? God has come down. And he has broken the chains of slavery to sin by living a perfect life and granting you that perfect life by faith. And he has suffered the punishment that our slavery to sin has deserved. He's paid the price to redeem us, to buy us out of slavery, to be God's possession. So Jesus has delivered you. He has freed you from the slavery of sin. He has forgiven you through and through. You are now God's holy people, set free to serve and worship Him. And we could say that here at Peace, this is Mount Horeb. This is where, as God's people, we gather to celebrate the deliverance that He has worked for us. So let us come regularly to this holy mountain and hear of the great things that God has done for us. You can imagine the people looking at those powerful miracles that God did to deliver them. Our joy is no less, because God has come down and rescued us, His people, through Jesus, the Savior. So God has been vulnerable to us. He's opened up and revealed Himself to us to draw close. He's shown you that He hears and sees you, that He loves you. He's present with you in your daily lives. And He cares. He wants to work for your good and is working for your good, even when you cannot see it, because He loves you. And He delivers. He has forgiven your sins. He has gathered you as His people and has prepared a place for you in the promised land of heaven. May God continue to bless us with His Spirit so that one day we cross on to those golden shores. To God be the glory, now and forever. Amen. Please stand for the blessing. And now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.